And when we talk about Easter, we ought to really be talking about that event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what does that event mean to us? I want to say to you that Easter means freedom.
Easter. For many in today's culture, it's come to mean painted eggs, brand new clothes, and a little white rabbit handing out baskets full of candy. But the true meaning of Easter is freedom. Hello and welcome to Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. The good news of the gospel comes down to Jesus Christ crucified and Jesus Christ alive again. So as we prepare to celebrate the sacrificial death and glorious resurrection of our Lord, Pastor Paul wants to share a wonderful reminder with us. The beauty of that special day is that we now have access to freedom, true freedom in Christ. Today, he explores what that freedom looks like. So stay with us now or visit PastorPaul.net to listen online on demand. That's PastorPaul.net. Subscribe to Pastor Paul on YouTube to watch selected video clips of his sermons and messages. And right now, here he is with today's message. Easter means freedom.
What does Easter mean to you? I ask this question because Easter means different things to different people. For some, especially those that weren't raised in church, in our generation, there's an alarming number of people who weren't raised in church, raised going to Sunday school or other religious training. And so for some, Easter doesn't have much of a spiritual connotation at all. For some, Easter means eggs dyed with certain colors. And some of us grew up where that was part of what you saw happen. They'd give the kids little baskets and they'd have these dyed eggs. Sometimes a creative parent would write the name of the child so you know which egg was yours. My baskets had jelly beans in them. You knew it was Easter time when you saw jelly beans coming into the house. For some people, it's about parades. And then for a lot of people, both church going and non-church going, it's about new clothes. I certainly remember that growing up as kids, when you thought Easter's approaching, you thought it's only a matter of time and gonna go to the store and pick out my outfit for this year. And you would show up at church and it was an informal, off-the-record fashion show. I mean, there was no host or anything like that, but you could tell it was really an informal fashion show as folk were checking one another out. Oh, you look nice. Oh, checking one out. And there was pretty much a consensus usually about who won. And speaking of Easter clothes, it was one Easter Sunday in the late 60s that I discovered that my family and friends didn't really love me because of what they let me wear. I was thinking back as I was preparing this message. I had a flashback to an Easter Sunday in the late 60s. I was either 10 or 11. I'm pretty sure it was the Easter where I was either 10 years old or 11 years old. And when the time came to go to the store and get our outfits, I saw a medium brown suit. It was nice, medium brown suit, double-breasted, couple of rows, two, three rows of buttons. And so I said, oh, that looks good. So I got that. Then I went to the shoe section, and they didn't have any good-looking brown shoes. And of course, I didn't want to wear black shoes with my medium brown suit. But they had a pair of yellow shoes. And those yellow shoes were sharp. The design of them, they were the best looking shoes, and they happened to be yellow. They didn't have them in brown, but they were yellow. And in my 10 or 11 year old brain, I said to myself, yellow goes with brown. And so I asked, did they have them in my size? Man went back and checked. Sure enough, they had them. I bought the yellow shoes. And all I needed now was my shirt. Went to the shirt section. and said, well, you can't wear a white shirt with a medium brown suit and yellow shoes, so let me see if I can find a nice tan or a nice, you know, off-brown kind of shirt. And they didn't have anything but a yellow shirt. And the yellow shirt had ruffles on the front. So on an Easter Sunday morning in the late 60s, I went to church with a sharp medium brown suit, yellow shoes, and a yellow shirt with ruffles. And I didn't know that I was unloved until later in my life when I looked back on it. And I thought, if y'all really loved me, you would have done anything to keep me from going to church looking like that. But my family said, go ahead. Now, y'all laughing at me, but you probably can think back to an Easter suit. Just think back in your own history. You probably have a few Easters yourself that you're a little bit ashamed of. And if not Easter, just outfits in general. If you think back, especially those of us who are kind of getting up there in age, when you think back to some of the stuff you wore back in the late 60s or the 70s, do y'all still have some of your pictures? See, if some of you need a little humility, just open your photo album. If you're getting a little too proud, a little too full of yourself, just open your photo album. You got some stuff in there. You look like you got off of a spaceship. Just as special as you know how to be. And didn't have sense enough to know you were special. You were proud of the way you looked. But that was an Easter where I found out my family and friends did not love me. But in this message, I don't want to talk about Easter from the perspective of jelly beans and baskets and eggs and parades and new clothes. I want to talk about what it really means. And of course, when I'm talking about Easter, I'm not talking about the actual term. In fact, there are Christians who say we shouldn't use that term because the term Easter has pagan roots. But the reality is the church long ago confiscated the season and we use it to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But there are some Christians who are much more comfortable with calling it Resurrection Sunday than Easter Sunday. That's fine. If that's your preference, that's fine. I'm not talking about the actual term. I'm talking about the historical reality that Jesus, 3 days after going to a cross, he got up from that grave by the power of God. The Bible is very clear that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historical reality. I've talked in previous messages about many of the proofs, factual proofs of the resurrection of Christ. It is not a myth. It is not a fairy tale. Jesus rose from the grave. And he showed himself through many infallible proofs to be alive after his resurrection. And then he ascended back to the heavenly Father with his disciples looking on and watching his departure. And when we talk about Easter, we ought to really be talking about that event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what does that event mean to us? I want to say to you that Easter means freedom. Easter means freedom. Freedom from what, you ask? I'm so glad you asked. Let's use the word Easter, each letter in the word Easter, for me to make some points, and I'll let you go. 6 points. Freedom from, first of all, the E stands for empty pursuits. Empty pursuits. The resurrection of Jesus Christ says to us, you don't have to go through life trying to figure out why you're here. Jesus being raised from the dead shows you that you are here to fulfill divine purpose. Rick Warren calls it the purpose-driven life. Everyone is to live a life that God designed us to live. Easter says there is a God who loved you enough to send his son to die for your sins that you would come to new life and new purpose in him. And I want to tell you that Easter says to all of us, you can give up your empty pursuits. A lot of us are pursuing all the wrong things in a search for significance. Many of us are pursuing possessions in a search for significance. Possessions are a nice feature in your life if the Lord so chooses to bless you with them, but they cannot be the foundation of your life. For Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?" You never saw a U-Haul following a hearse. And that for good reason, you can't take it with you. And yet your eternal soul is going to live on. And that ought to tell you that your life cannot be about the pursuit of temporal things.
Stay with us. Pastor Paul Shepherd will be right back with the rest of today's Destined for Victory message, Easter Means Freedom. In addition to radio, today's message is also available on demand at pastorpaul.net or on the go through our free mobile app. Search Destined for Victory at your app store. You can use the app to order resources, take notes on the daily message, or make a safe and secure donation. You can also access the broadcast through Alexa by enabling the Destined for Victory skill. Well, the Bible tells us that if the Son of God has set you free, you are free indeed. Here again is Pastor Paul with the second half of today's message. Easter means freedom.
Temporal things can be a blessing, all other things being equal. But you've got to have a life that's rooted in that which is eternal, which is doing the will of God. So you can't get hung up on your stuff. Some people get hung up on the pursuit of power, and they are climbing and they are scratching and clawing, trying to climb the ladder of success so that they can develop a great reputation or get to a certain status in their career and what have you. And if you don't understand what Easter means, you are subject to climb the ladder of success only when you get to the top to realize that the ladder is leaning against the wrong building. You don't know what your life is about until you go to the creator of your life, who is the only one who can define your real purpose. Some pursue possession, some pursue power, some pursue pleasure. Just living is about fun and pleasure, and indeed, fun and pleasure are great features in your life, but they cannot be the foundation. The wise man of the Old Testament, Solomon, David's son, he had all kinds of wealth and he spent it pursuing pleasure for years. He did everything he thought his heart would enjoy. But listen to him as he concludes the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, "Hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this," not pleasure, "but this," fearing God, "is the whole duty of man." Take it from someone who spent his life pursuing pleasure, that it's really not about that. It is about doing the will of God. And he went on to say, because God is going to call every secret thing one day into judgment. And so some are pursuing pleasure. Others are pursuing people. And your life is all about the pursuit. You're trying to keep up with the Joneses. You're trying to hang out with certain crowds. And people can be a great feature in your life, but they make a poor foundation. You can't put your trust in people. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Cursed is the man or woman whose trust is in a man or woman and who uses them for their strength." When you need people to govern your life and to fuel your life and to define your life, you are a shipwreck waiting to happen. And some of us already know it because we've been in that state where we have allowed people to define us. We have allowed people to give us our significance. You are to get to a point where you are able to enter into interdependence with people, but you cannot afford to be dependent on people. Because how many know people have a gift of letting you down sometimes? I mean, they're just gifted. Some of them are really good at letting you down sometimes. And so you've got to understand that your life's got to be more than about the pursuit of those empty things. It is to be about doing the will of God. It is doing the will of God, fulfilling the purpose of God, that brings true fulfillment. There is nothing else in your life that will bring you true fulfillment except doing his will. Because that's what you were created to do. And that's when your soul will find its significance. That's where your search for significance will end, when you say, I know that my life is about what God has called me to do. And you can put head to pillow at night knowing that you pleased the Lord and you did what he called you to do. And so I want to tell you that Easter means freedom from empty pursuits. The A tells us that Easter means freedom from Adamic guilt. Adamic guilt, the name Adam with IC at the end. Adamic guilt. What do I mean by that? I mean that the Bible is really clear about the fact that we came to the planet wrong. You didn't get wrong along the way. You started out in the wrong position. But here's the good news. So did everybody around you. You don't have to feel bad about yourself. I've heard people say, now see, that's what I don't like about the Christian religion, because it puts guilt on people, and it ought to be affirming people and building them up and telling them they're wonderful and they're special. Well, we get there, but you got to start by admitting you're wrong. Jesus will get you right, but you got to start at the starting point. And when you get out of the gate, when you come out of the blocks, you are wrong. Psalmist said, David said in Psalm 51 and 5, I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity in my mother's womb. What does that mean? That means that we were guilty by association with Adam. The Bible is clear that through Adam, all men fell into sin. Everyone fell into sin through the sin of that one man. That's exactly why Jesus came. Just as through the sin of one man, guilt came upon us all, through the obedience of the Lamb of God, salvation was made available to us. So Easter, the fact that Jesus rose from the grave means that you can be free from Adamic guilt. You don't have to carry it through your life. You don't have to be a sinner with the wrath of God hanging over you all of your life. Jesus came to settle that issue. But you got to start by admitting, I have Adamic guilt. I was born in sin. And that's why it doesn't take you long at all to begin to move into a lifestyle of sin, because we all started out wrong, alienated from God, full of Adamic guilt. But Easter means we don't have to carry that guilt anymore. I can be justified in the eyes of God if I look to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, as my Savior and my Lord. When I exchange his righteousness for my sin, I take on the righteousness of God. And when God looks at me, he doesn't see my Adamic guilt anymore. He now sees the righteousness of his Son that was provided for me on the cross. Freedom from empty pursuits. Freedom from Adamic guilt. The S in the word Easter, I want to use to stand for this. It means freedom from spiritual death. Spiritual death. Now, the result of this Adamic guilt is that we become the living dead. The result of being born a sinner, in your mother's womb, you're a sinner. When you come out crying, you're a sinner. Then what you do is live physically, but you're living in a state of spiritual death. Ephesians 2:1 says, you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. That death started the moment you are in the world. You are the living dead. And you know it's true, because it doesn't take you long at all to begin to live out the fact that you're alienated from God. See, when people have this philosophy, people are basically good. It is exposure to the wrong things that makes them evil. Burnt, wrong answer. We bear the nature of Adam. And that nature is a nature of disobedience to God. It's a nature of self-centeredness. It's egocentric. It's what I want. I don't care what God says. I don't care what the will of God is. I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it. And you know, if you'll be honest with yourself, you didn't learn that at 13, 17. You were self-centered and egocentric very early on. You were in the crib crying when nothing's wrong. You have been burped, fed, changed, cooed, played with. Nothing wrong, but they lay you down and you don't want to be down. Wah! So you scream like something's wrong. That's your sinful nature coming out. I always like to say that to get on the nerves of all the new parents, these ones with these brand new babies. He up there tripping, calling my baby a sinner. I say it just to make you mad. Yeah, that's a little cute sinner you got on your hands. Bless your heart. I know you want the baby to just be pure and wonderful and all of that, but that's a little cute sinner. That's what that is. And you don't have to believe me now. Just give him a couple of years. You'll believe me after a while, a couple of years, they'll be standing in front of you with crumbs on their face. And you look at the cookie jar and see that there's a missing cookie or two. And you will say to that kid, did you take the cookie? And with crumbs on their face, they will say, I didn't even know we had cookies. Little cute sinner, born in sin and now beginning to live in a state of spiritual death. And that's why Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You don't become alive. You exist physically, but you don't become alive until you find the life of Christ.
Pastor Paul Shepherd wants to encourage you today. If you've gotten off track in your walk with God, if you've made mistakes that you can't seem to forget, it's time for you to embrace the grace. No matter what you've done or how far away you've run, you can never outrun the love, mercy, and grace of God. When He gave His life for everyone, He gave His life for every one, and that means you. Well, before we let you go on your busy Tuesday, I want to thank you on behalf of Pastor Paul Shepherd and all of us at Destined for Victory for all you're doing to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To find out more about the impact you're having, log on to PastorPaul.net and request your copy of Pastor Paul's monthly letter of encouragement, yours at no cost or obligation. Romans 8 verse 1 tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Pastor Paul calls this part of God's benefits package for anyone who comes to faith in Christ. In his booklet, 7 Pounds of Grace, Pastor Paul shares some of the blessings of faith in Christ, among them the gift of unconditional pardon based on the completed works of Christ on the cross. This is part of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Pastor Paul tells you all about it in this great resource from Destined for Victory. It's a booklet called 7 Pounds of Grace from Pastor Paul and our gift to you by request for your generous gift to Destined for Victory. Call 855-339-5500 or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. You can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California 94538. Again, our address is Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
God has the power to take care of it. If He had the power to raise Jesus from the dead, surely what binds you is not going to be a problem with God.
That's tomorrow in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Easter Means Freedom. Until then, remember, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.